get in the Word this morning, turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. This will be the third time we've tried to finish out Matthew chapter 7. And I have a confidence in Jesus this morning that we will be able to complete the task today. But the Lord's led that, and boy, what powerful things in this Sermon on the Mount that we've been looking at actually the last few months here in Matthew 6 and 7. The study before last, in fact, these last two studies as we've come here to the end of chapter 7, first of all was beware of false prophets, and then we saw be sure you know Jesus, and now this morning build your house on the rock. And these things really tie together. Beware of false prophets. The Lord's telling us to heed this warning. They'll come to you as wolf in sheep's clothing. They're not going to show up and say, hey, I'm a false prophet with a false gospel and I have something to say. They're going to come as an angel of light. And we saw instruction there that we are to test their fruits, to judge their fruits. And of course, judgment always starts with us judging ourselves, the fruit of our own life, our own doctrine, and so forth, so that we can make righteous judgments. And we can see something when it's not upright and holy. Not so that we can exalt ourselves and put others down, but so that we can stand in the truth to protect our own hearts and lead others towards the truth. And then be sure that you know Jesus. And the Lord talked about, in fact, we'll touch on this again this morning because it ties in really directly to the finishing out of this chapter. The Lord's saying, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, and yet he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. And we saw the key in that is that they had listened to false prophets telling them that they're saved through their doing and through their works because they put the emphasis on, we did this and we did that. And yet we know we're saved through doing the will of the Father, which starts with and actually finishes with salvation in believing in Jesus Christ. And then from there, again, the Lord coming off that exhortation of knowing that you know Jesus comes to building your house on the rock. And indeed, listen, there's only two places to build your house. One is on the rock and the house being your life. One is on the rock, Jesus Christ, and everything else is the sand. Storms are going to come in life. There's going to be a storm on Judgment Day. And guess what? The house built on the rock. Praise God. Is your house on the rock this morning? Can you say amen to that? The house built on the rock will stand come what may. But the house built on the sand is going to fall. The house on the rock will stand. The house on the sand will fall. And we'll see this morning it will be a great fall. So let's read our text this morning. That's a little bit of where we've been and where we're going. Verse 24 through 29 of Matthew 7. And we'll dive into this and just take it through a verse at a time here. Jesus speaking, obviously, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was the fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So again, going back there to verse 24, he starts with the word therefore. And the word therefore, listen, it's there for a reason. It's the Lord really tying together what he just spoke about Judgment Day and standing before God, being in that place of thinking you know the Lord and yet you don't because your faith is really in yourself and not in him. And then him bringing that into building your house on the rock, knowing that you know that you're saved and born again and your trust is in him. Again, right before this, in verse 21, he had said, not everyone who says to me, and we need to take this to heart, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, this is Jesus saying this. This isn't some man declaring this. This isn't Saint Peter. This isn't, you know, Michael or, you know, Gabriel, the archangel. This is Jesus saying this. I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you practice lawlessness. And I can't think of a worse thing to hear in your life, a worse thing to hear on Judgment Day, especially if you're in the place like this group is, who think they know Jesus, who think Jesus is their Lord. They think they're saved, and yet the Lord breaks the bad news to them. I never knew you. You practice lawlessness. Depart from me. Running around with a false hope. We compared it to the end of the age, and we'll tie this back into our message as we get deeper into it. We're in 1 Thessalonians 5. It talks about the Antichrist at the end of the age. This world leader is going to show up on the scene in a time of great despair and peril in the world. And I think our world is getting primed for this. He's going to show up and seem to have all the answers, seem to have, you know, all the words to unify things and to calm things down and settle things. And the world's going to embrace this other Christ, this false Christ, this Antichrist. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, it says, when they say peace and safety, they're going to say, all is well, all is good, all is well with my soul, peace and safety. Then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And notice, they shall not escape. The destruction spoken of there is not just those 21 judgments that we read that will come on this world at the end of the age. That destruction is speaking of an eternity without Christ. A destruction in that eternal flame that Jesus taught about. That's the doctrine of Jesus Christ. What a horrible place to be. And absolutely, these individuals who think they know him and they don't, when he says, depart from me. It's not just to, you know what, a purgatory or a place of limbo or, you know what, a lower level of heaven. It's depart from me into destruction. We talked about this a few weeks ago and really emphasized this in the scripture that the Lord spoke of hell. The Lord spoke of heaven. This is the doctrine of Jesus Christ, not fire and brimstone pastors, you know, that just want to ruffle feathers. This is what the Lord says. And there's so many people trying to twist what the Lord said in these matters. So many false prophets that want to tickle people's ears in these matters. That want to tell them, look, if you're just a good person and do good things, surely you're going to go to heaven. And if you don't, there is no hell, so you don't need to worry about that. And yet throughout Jesus' teachings, the emphasis was always on eternity. In fact, Jesus said himself, I didn't come to build a kingdom here. If I did, I would have my servants rise up and take up arms. No, I came to build an eternal kingdom because our life here is as a vapor and we're in a fallen state here and our sin separates us from God here. So before we pass, again, God sent his son to make the way for our sins to be forgiven, for us to have right standing with God, not through our works, not through our efforts, not through us saying we did this and we did that and we even did it in the name of Jesus, but by grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ and what he's done alone, he is good. Jesus, though, said in Matthew 18:8, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than to have two hands or two feet and be cast into the everlasting fire. That's the doctrine of the Lord. And listen, the Lord does not want anyone to go to that everlasting fire. The Father doesn't want that. The Spirit of God does not want that. That's why God in his love for us, the Father in his love for us, when we were in our sin, the Bible declares, when we were in rebellion, he sent his son. He sent his son to show his love for us, to die on the cross, to atone for our sins, that through faith in him, we would no longer be under that law that damns us, but now under the grace of God that saves us. It's a sin issue, and our sins need to be washed, and that only comes through Christ. No, what the Lord would have is for all to come to faith in him and know that they have the inheritance of heaven. Because as bad as hell is, oh, how horrible not to walk in glory with the Lord forever. Notice Revelation 21:3, it says, speaking of glory before us, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And notice what it says here. Take this to heart. Be encouraged in this. We're going to talk about storms here in a bit in our text. And maybe you're in the midst of a storm today. Well, listen, on the rock of Christ, we stand with an anticipation of hope of what God has for us. It says, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Not 90% or 95%. Every tear from their eyes he'll wipe. And there'll be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne that said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. These are true and faithful words. This is the Lord speaking these things. This is Jesus Christ speaking these things. And he's saying these words are faithful and true, speaking to the believer and the great hope we have in him. In fact, these are things that we can't even begin to fully comprehend. I kind of snicker when I see someone write a book on heaven, and, you know, I got it all together, and you're going to do this and that, and horseback riding and racquetball and all this kind of stuff. Notice what it says here in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You want to know that you know that you know that he is your Lord, that he is your Savior. And so he speaks of these groups in the text right before what we're looking at that think they're saved and yet they're not. They think they know him, and yet they don't. Why? Because they're putting their faith in themselves. They're self-righteous. Look what we did. And this could be anything from, again, an individual that's in a church who thinks they're saved through their doing, to the person who's out in the world who thinks they're saved through being a good person. When the Bible says there's no good, no, not one, Jesus is the only way. To know that you know that you know him, you put faith in him, and you put all your hope in him, and you anchor it all in him, and you stand in him. Again, it says, many will say to me, Lord, Lord. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. That's not our doing, but again, what's the will of the Father? To put faith in the Son. John 6:39. It says, for this is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given to me I should lose nothing, but should raise them up on the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son, notice here, this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. It's through him. Is your faith in the Lord today? Rejoice in that. You're on the rock of Christ Jesus. And now we are called to build our life on the rock. Again, we're saved by grace through faith. And now we are called to walk by faith, to trust in the Lord, to grow in the Lord, to abound in the Lord, to live for the Lord. And that's where life is found. That's where abundant life is found, is in walking in him. So again, therefore, tying that into this, he says, Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And I love the word whoever here. Listen, this is one of my most favorite words in the entire Bible, because with the Lord, there's no prejudice. There's no partiality. He calls all to himself. He desires all to be saved. And praise God, all who respond to that call, he will wash and he will welcome. 1 Timothy 2:4, speaking of the Lord, it says he desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. As I already touched on, the Lord's long-suffering in his coming. Why? You look around the world, and there has to be times, I know there's times in my life when I think, Lord, when are you going to come? This is such a mess. But then I remember he's long-suffering because he's desiring all to come to know him. And maybe you don't know him today. You are part of that whoever. And if you call upon the Lord, he will meet you where you're at. He wants to wash you of your sin today. He wants to baptize you and fill you with the Holy Spirit today. He wants to begin a good work in your life today. He wants to have a relationship with you today. He says, whoever, he welcomes all, arms are open. It doesn't matter the sins of the past. The Lord wants to wash you of them and begin to renew your mind to begin to walk as he's called you to walk in uprightness and holiness and goodness and to walk in the light and leave the darkness behind. Whoever hears, he says, these sayings of mine. And this is a key part of this. We need to hear. We know the Holy Spirit convicts all men of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Don't close your ear to the Lord. We know that he has given us his word, and praise God, we have it, and we go through it. We need to have an ear to hear the Lord. We need to have an ear to be in the word of God. Revelation 13:9 says, if anyone has an ear, you got an ear this morning? We have an ear, let him hear. And again, this is speaking of him talking to us through the word of God. Because hearing biblically, again, it's hearing, and then it's responding, it's following through and acting. And that's what he's speaking of here. Hear the word and act on the word. So that, again, you're not just on the rock through faith in Jesus, but now you're building your house on the rock in Christ. And the beautiful thing is there's blessing found there. There's life found there. Revelation 1:3, blessed is he who reads and who hears the words of this prophecy and keeps those things which are written in it, for the time is near. It is a blessing to know the Lord, and it is a blessing to respond to the word of the Lord. Maybe you're in you got things going on in your life this morning, and you know God's called me to do it this way according to the scripture, but the flesh is saying, no, do it your own way. Do it your own way. You'll find life in that. You'll find blessing in that. That's a lie we need to take captive. We need to move forward in God and how God has called us to do things and relationships. Maybe you're single here this morning. You need to do that in dating. In marriage, you need to honor God and function in the way that God has called you to function, with order in your home and prayer and devotion and so forth. In the workplace, honoring your boss. If you are a business owner, doing that with integrity and so forth. Being a people that are watching the words coming out of our mouth, not so that we say the right things so that we're saved, but that we say the right thing, that God's blessed and God's glorified, the body of Christ is built up, and unbelievers get born again and saved. Those are good reasons to build your house on the rock, as well as we'll see, knowing that the house built on the rock will stand. So whoever hears these sayings of mine, and as Jesus says this, we should ask the question, is he just talking about the Sermon on the Mount? Again, we know this is the tail end, the last of the sermon that he has been giving here for a few chapters. The most famous sermon absolutely in the entire Bible. Is he just saying, do these things, you know what? Be a peacemaker, be merciful and so forth. No, he's not just talking about that. He's talking about all of the word of God. Interesting, Revelation 19:13 says, and he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. This is speaking of Jesus. And his name is called the Word of God. Another name for Jesus is the Word of God. Now again, do we worship our Bibles and say, look at my Bible, I'm holding Jesus in my hand. Oh, let me cradle. We know it's not that, but we know the Word of God reveals the heart and mind of the Lord. And you can't separate Jesus from the Word, and you can't, again, separate the Word from Jesus. The Word, the Bible, again, these are the sayings of God. This is the Word of God. It's not words of men, but words of God who made you, who loves you, who has a plan for you, who wants to bless you, who wants to put you on the rock and absolutely shine his face upon you. There's so many other words out there that aren't the Word of God, though. They're empty words. Ephesians 5:5 says, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an adulterer has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you. Notice what he says here. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Have you noticed there's a lot of empty words in this world? There's a lot of empty words that have made their way into Christendom by false prophets. Don't be deceived by empty words. And so we need to test the words that are out there. Don't be deceived by empty words. He says, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Words are a big deal. Doctrine is a big deal. Who you're listening to is a big deal. And Jesus is saying, whoever hears my words, these sayings of mine, and does them, I'll liken them to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Again, the world's words are empty words. Jesus' words and the word of God are words of eternal life. There in John 6, when so many had turned away from Jesus because he got serious with them about the call to be a follower of Christ and salvation, he turned to his disciples and said, are you going to leave as well? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Hear this morning. You have the words of eternal life. The words of God, the words of Christ are words of eternal life. Mark 8:38, Jesus said, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, see how they're tied together. Me and my words. In this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. It indeed is a wicked and sinful, adulterous generation. Praise God, we've been saved out of it by grace through faith in the Lord. We're no better than the sinner out there. The only thing that separates us from them is the grace of God. And now God's doing a work in our life. But knowing, again, the words of Christ, knowing Jesus laid down his life for us, let's not be ashamed of the Lord or his word, but respond to them and not be influenced, again, as he describes, by an adulterous and sinful generation. Because there's many Christians that shrink back from building their house on the cross or on the rock of Christ, because as you begin to do that, you're going to hear from the peanut gallery of a sinful and adulterous generation trying to discourage you from doing such, trying to label you in doing that as a troublemaker and so forth. Because if you're going to live for the Lord, praise God, you're going to be an aroma of life to some and others an aroma of death. And you're going to ruffle some feathers. But we need to be determined. I'm going to hear the words of the Lord, the sayings of Christ, and then notice what he says and does them. And I want to act on them. I want to be a doer of the word. Listen, faith is seen in action. We're saved by grace through faith, trusting in the Lord. And then we are called to act on the word in faith, to be a doer of the word. We see this throughout the scripture. And it's not that our doing saves us, but our doing shows us that we are saved, that we have a legitimate faith, and absolutely doing blesses God. It pleases God, and it's going to bless your life, and it's going to bless others as well. Colossians 2:6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, have you received him as Lord? Can you say amen to that this morning? He says, so walk in him. Again, you're on the rock of Christ. Now it's time to walk with Christ. You don't want to be on the rock of Christ and then say, well, yeah, I'm on the rock, but I build my house over here on the sand. No, I'm on Christ, and now I build my life on Christ. He is my Lord. Again, so walk in him. Notice, rooted and built up in him. Built up. We're going to see this starts with digging deep the foundation on the rock of Christ. Rooted down. Building is an action of doing. Do we have any builders here in the room? I know we have several. You don't go to the job and say, I'm a contractor, and stand there. Nothing gets done if you do that. Some guys do that pretty darn good. You know, like, bro, you getting your work done or you're standing around? We have been called to do, rooted and built up in him. And the beautiful thing is we step down in faith. Ultimately, he's the one that does the work. Established in faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with, notice here, thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. We're saved by grace through faith. And now we have the call by faith to build our house on the rock of Christ. Guys, there's nothing better in the entire world. Now, I know a sinful and adulterous generation will say, hey, what we have for you is better. A house on the sand is not better. A house that, again, you come through the door, yet it leads down to hell is not better. Walking with Jesus is better than anything that is out there, anything that is in the world. To walk with your God and the God who made you, it is sweet, it is good. Notice Romans 1:17. It says, for in it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Look at guys, this is part of the fear of God. I'm saved by grace through faith. And now I want to walk by faith because I believe God is true. I believe there's blessings found when I walk in what God has called me to walk in. A house built on the rock when the storms come and it stands, that's a blessing, is it not? Versus a house on the sand that falls by the wayside. I want to live by faith. I believe God's blessings are true. Do you believe this morning if you build your house on the rock, which happens when you are a doer of the word? Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe if he's my savior, but I build my house over here on the sand, that it's going to fall? Listen, that's called the fear of God. I believe that, and it's seen in my doing. I walk with a reverence towards God because I believe as I build my house on the rock, it's going to stand come what may. And listen, storms are brewing and they're coming. But the house built on the sand is going to fall. Notice about the fear of God, this doing God's word, which is a mark of the fear of God, a reverence for God. It's a mark of I believe God. It says in Psalm 34:8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." And if you trust in him, you believe him. I want to respond to him because I believe him. And he says, "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want for those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing," because he works all things for good. Side note, he says, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." And this is where we need to be, in that place of saying, I know I'm saved by grace through faith. I stand in the finished work of the Lord, and I rejoice in that. And now I want a purpose in my heart. I'm going to do things God's way. There's no half-stepping in that. There's no other alternative. I do things God's way, come what may. God strengthen me in that. And when I see I'm not doing things God's way, Lord, I want to bring that to you and absolutely get refreshed by you and bring that in the light so, Lord, that you can bring correction, that I'll be found building my house on the rock in my short life here on earth. We're called to be doers of the word. Interesting, there's so many illustrations given of what a Christian should be. We're told that we're to be farmers. Again, farmers are doers, are they not? You have to go out and till the ground and pull the weeds and chase off the varmints and plant the seeds and water them and so forth. We're called to be soldiers. Again, soldiers are called to be out in the battlefield. Praise God, it's a spiritual war, not a physical one. We're called to be investors. An investor, if he doesn't invest, doesn't have a return. Investing takes work. Again, as God's given us talents, spiritual gifts. As we touched on, we're called to be builders. We're also called to be boxers and runners and wrestlers. And we have some boxers and wrestlers and runners in our church. Again, that takes work. We saw this recently in the Olympics, which I didn't watch any of that whatsoever. I saw like three clips. I saw like a 40-year-old woman tried to break dance. I saw a guy hold a gun like casually and like take a silver medal. And I watched a man beat up a woman in supposedly women's boxing. That's all I saw. Listen, we're called to be doers of the word, though. We're called to be boxers who buffet their bodies. We're called to run the race. We're called to be engaged in spiritual warfare as wrestlers. And guys, to do this, you got to dig deep. You got to be committed to God. You got to say, I'm going to live my life for the Lord. And you can do that in Christ. Know that this morning. There's a lot of people get saved and they think, you know what? That serious Christianity is, though, not for me. I'm not called to that. I'm not cut out to that. You are called to that and you are cut out for that because you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And as you step out of faith, you will be amazed how God gives you wrestling skills spiritually and spiritual boxing skills and spiritual running skills and spiritual farming skills and soldiering skills and investing skills and building skills, because he's not going to leave you hanging. He is absolutely the foreman on the job that's going to see you through. But we got to step out and act. I love, as Luke recorded this message, he brought some details that Matthew left out. But he says here in Luke 6:47 that Jesus said, "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I'll show you who he is like. He's like a man who building a house, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock." Notice he dug deep. He was on the rock. And then he says, I'm going to build my house on this rock. And so I'm going to get in and I'm going to dig deep down to lay the foundation. And guys, if we want to build our house on the rock, we have to dig deep, which means you go deep with the Lord. You cut out this half step and stuff. You cut out this idea, well, I'm saved, but I'm going to be a lukewarm Christian and kind of have my house on the sand, or I got this great vacation house on the sand over here where I do whatever I want to do the way I want to do it over here. And yes, I know that my home's really on the rock, but I'm building it. No, we need to put that to rest. It's time to dig deep on the rock of Jesus Christ. And to do so, you got to go deep with the Lord. Psalm 42:7 says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls, and your waves and billows have gone over me. So in the storm, what am I found doing? I'm going deeper in the Lord, and God is calling you to go deeper with him. And listen, in the deep, that's where you're going to find strength. That's where you're going to find unction. That's where you're going to find endurance. You guys know I just had a couple week vacation, which was a little bit away and a little bit of practical building on my own house and so forth. But here's the thing. I learned a long time ago, if I'm waiting for vacation to get refreshed by God, I'm looking to the wrong thing. Look, if there's a place for vacation, it's a good thing and so forth when it's properly, you know, scheduled into your life and so forth. I know to get refreshed to be a builder, because if you begin to build again, you're going to have times of weariness. If you're going to wrestle, there's going to be times of weariness. If you're an investor and so forth, there's going to be stress. I know that if I look for vacation to refresh me spiritually, I'm looking to the wrong thing. I know, and listen, earlier in the summer, I was feeling weary. And I knew we were going to take a vacation in August. Look at in June. I can't wait for August. I need to get deep with the Lord right now to get refreshed by the Holy Spirit. And every time you call out to him for that and say, I'm going to get in the Word. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to call out to the Lord. He will meet you where you're at and give you what you need to stand up and get building in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, whoever hears these things of mine and does them, again, notice what Jesus says, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The Lord says, respond to my word. Be a doer of my word. And Jesus says, as you're a doer of the word, Jesus is saying, you're a wise man. What a compliment, huh? Is Jesus a liar? No, Jesus speaks truth. I'll liken him to a wise man. This is the Lord's words, not man's opinion. If you're going to build your house on the rock, a lot of empty-worded people are going to say, oh, you're foolish, you're squandering your life. But the Lord says, no, you're a wise man. You're a wise man building your house on the rock. Remember that in the midst of mocking and so forth. Stand in the word of God. In fact, Jude 17 says, but you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there would be mockers in the last times who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts, these sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. So he says, even in the midst of a sinful, wicked generation, which we were saved out of, those people need the Lord. We love those people, but we ought to recognize, I stand in the Word of God. I don't listen to mockers. I don't listen to God haters. I listen to Jesus Christ. He says, remember the words of the Lord in the midst of these things. We want to be wise men. We want to be likened to wise men. We hear the word, we respond to the word. Again, the man who hears the word and does it, acts on it, he is wise. Why? He's building his house on the sure foundation. And absolutely, this is going to affect your life here, and this is going to affect your life there on Judgment Day. Oh, the Lord is the rock, and he's a good rock. Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Can you say amen to that? Amen. Notice there, Psalm 18:2, and there's so much about the Lord being the rock in the scripture. It says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, and I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. What a difference between the group that comes before God and said, we prophesied in your name, we cast out demons in your name, we did many wonders in your name, versus he is my fortress, my deliverer, my strength, the emphasis on him versus us. So good. And Matthew 16, 15 through 19, I'm not going to read it, but the Lord declares, again, himself being the Petra, the mountain, again, the rock. And he says, the gates of hell won't prevail against the rock. The gates of hell won't prevail against God's church built on the rock. So he's our foundation, and he's going to undergird us in the storms of life, in the storm of the day of judgment. And I think most of you guys know, storms come, don't they? And storms are here, and hear this, storms are coming. Notice verse 25, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew. And notice here, beat on that house. This wasn't a little, you know, it's spring shower here. This is a storm coming in with winds beating on. It's kind of like some of these storms we've had the last few years, you know. They came in. I think about, a few years back when we were meeting outside in tents. And it was that first year of the whole COVID thing. And I remember, the storm's coming. And we kind of had mixed reports. And we're like, those tents will be okay. And then about 2 o'clock in the morning, I get a call. It's all destroyed. It was just sitting there kind of like on sand, you know. In fact, with sandbags. And it just got stinking level by that storm. Look at that same storm or storm similar, twice or three times as bigger. That pavilion is going nowhere. You know why? It's built on a rock with 8-foot footings. That's the difference between the two of these things. Storms are going to come. There's going to be personal storms. Trials of correction. Trials of perfection. There's going to be that spiritual warfare. There's going to be relationship issues and family issues and, God forbid at times, church issues and temptations and sometimes setbacks and sufferings and growing pains as we go in the Lord. But praise God, on the rock, he'll see you through all of it. And on top of that, he'll use the storm for good. Just as he used that storm for good. So we realize these tents aren't going to cut it. We need to build a pavilion out here that's going to be strong in the storm. And then we stepped out in faith and guess what? God's provided all the money. Everything out there is already paid for. And God's brought the workers and so forth. And it's been a joyful thing to the glory of God as we stepped out in faith. Jesus said in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. You're going to have storms, he's saying, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And notice here, Isaiah 43:2, what an encouragement verse here. It says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God. I am the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And again, Romans 8:28, we know he works all things for good for those who love God, for those called according to his purpose. So again, he sees us through the storm. He's with us in the storm. The house holds up in the storm. And then he says, I use it for all good. I work it for good. There's going to be those personal trials. And then these are the storms we just see going on a world scale in a fallen world. The Bible describes days of peril at the end of the age. And we see those things described in Scripture unfolding. When Jesus talked about deception, there's such great deception in the world. You know, some news story comes, and you're like, I don't know what's true or false here. We have access to all this information, and yet it seems with it comes just mass confusion. We're in a world, as the Bible said, it would be marked by pestilence and poisons. They're all around us. We see inflation going out of control, and the Bible speaks of the time coming when a man will work all day for his food. That's it. Wars and rumors of wars. You talk about trials, the wars going on in this world, and you talk about rumors of wars. There's so many that say, man, we're on the cusp of World War III. Some saying we're already in the World War III. This is all the beginnings of those other world wars. You look at the Middle East, and the whole world is looking at that, trembling, seeing what's going on. Guys, those things going on in Israel were prophesied in the Scripture. All the players mentioned in the Bible 2,000 and 3,000 years ago are lined up as the Bible said they would at the end of the age. These are storms going on. Lawlessness out of control. The love of many growing cold. An embracing of immorality, not only in the world, but you see it coming into the church. an embracing of vileness, of those things that destroy souls, these things that destroy bodies. And you see much of the church propping this stuff up with a false, quote-unquote, love gospel. It's not loving to approve of things that God does not approve of and that are destructive. That's just loving yourself to get a, you know what, applause from the peanut gallery of God haters. That doesn't save anybody. And the list just goes on and on, an aggressiveness and a growing hatred towards God and his people you see in the world. And we know out of all of this, the Bible speaks of this Antichrist we referred to earlier, rising up, it says, out of the sea. And we see the sea is the nations of the world. And he's going to rise up out of these nations because it's what these nations are beginning to long for and look for. He's going to promise them safety and peace and safety. But guess what? It's a house built on the sand. And again, it's going to fall. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, but you yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon, notice here, them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Oh, but thank the Lord. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness, so the day should overtake you as a thief. We're in Christ. Let's build our house on the rock of Christ. That's what we do. In the midst of the storms, what do? We stand on the rock. We keep standing on the rock. We move forward on the rock. We keep building on the rock. I know what I'm called to do. I see a world confused. They don't know what to do. But I know what I'm supposed to be doing, growing in the Lord and standing in the Lord and being about the business of God. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, notice here, will suffer persecution. He's saying storms come because you're a follower of Christ, because those desiring to live godly are building their house on the rock of Christ. But evil men and apostles will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. What do? He says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of knowing from who you have learned them, that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You're going to suffer persecution. These things are going to get worse and worse. So what do? We keep building our house on the rock. And again, we should be aware of what's going on in the world, but there's so many believers, they even get caught up. Maybe they're not building their house over on the sand, but they're in a place where on the rock, and instead of just saying, what's God called me to do? I'm going to do that. They're just over here on the edge of the rock looking out at everything going on in the world. And they're just hearing that everything that comes out. Did you hear what they said today and what's going on now and so forth? We should be aware, but I'm called to be aware of what's... I got a boxing match over here. I got a wrestling match to take care of over here. I got some investment to make over here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know about that, but part of the enemy's strategy is we're so caught up in that, we're not doing what's right before us to do. God's going to see us through. He's going to go before us. Let's be doers of the word, because these storms are going to come. But notice verse 25, that house built on the rock, it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Oh, what glorious words. You have faith in Christ, amen. Now be a doer of the word on the rock of Christ. Isaiah 59:19. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, again, another thing that comes with storms, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And you know what that standard is? It's already been lifted up. It's the shed blood of Christ. It's his death and resurrection. It's who our God is and who we are in our God. Notice Proverbs 10:25. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked are no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. It's the tents versus the pavilion is what it is. Again, he's coming soon. Let's be about his business. Notice here, 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God that was given to me, notice, a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Notice verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which has been laid, which is Christ Jesus. You're like, how can there not be another foundation? Because there's only one rock, Jesus Christ. Everything else is sand. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so is through the fire. He's talking about believers here. Again, we're on the rock. What are you doing on the rock? Are you building with gold, silver, and precious stones, which would be things that would endure the fire? Because, again, you're a doer of the word. Or is it like, yeah, my house is on the rock, but I'm building a straw shack on it that has nothing to do with the things of God? He says those things are going to burn away. And you might not care about that now, but the day is going to come when it's going to be the most important thing on the docket. Maybe you've gotten away from this. Maybe, again, he's your Lord. You know he's your rock, but you haven't been a doer of the word. Well, notice Proverbs 24:16, a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall in calamity. Get up and get going in the Lord Jesus Christ. Get up and get going. He'll meet you where you're at. Now, quickly here, verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. So you got doers of the word and those who don't do the word will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. I think there's two things going on here. This speaks of the non-believer who's on the sand, but this can also have applications to the believer who's not building their house on the rock. They're saved, but they're over here just, again, playing in the sand all day. It's that believer on judgment day that the reward's burned away. It's been a wasted life. And interesting, just as there's only two gates and two ways, as the Lord spoke of there earlier in Matthew 7, again, we see only two foundations. Jesus the rock, and everything else is the sand. Everything else is sinking sand. And he says that house on the sand is going to have storms as well. But as they come and beat on that house is going to fall. And he says here it's a great fall. He says the house on the sand, again, is being built by a fool. It's the person who shuts his ear to the word. It's the non-believer who shuts his ear to the call of being born again. And it could also be the foolish Christian who's not responding to what God's calling you to do. I'll do things my own way, God. Look at, I thank you that I'm saved, but I'm going to be over here. I'm going on vacation. I'm saved. I'm going on vacation the rest of my life, though. I'll be over here on beachfront property out on the sand building my house. Guys, we're here to live for the Lord. Amen. We're here to honor God. You're like, oh, but I like it there on the beach. The ocean's there and the breeze, and I just kick back and so forth. Guys, we're called here to be boxers and runners and wrestlers and farmers and soldiers and investors and builders, spiritual speaking here, for the Lord. Amen. Psalm 49:10, for he sees wise men die, likewise the fool and the senseless person perish. Proverbs 12:15, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is death. Versus John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How foolish. How foolish for the person to reject Christ. But in a way you could say, we know Christ. How much more foolish not to build our lives on the rock of Christ. To say, oh, I like being saved, but when it comes to the word of God, I do what I want to do. I'm a Christian, but practically, I walk in the motto of Satanism, which is do as thou wilt. No, I want to do what God's called me to do. Yes, digging deep takes some work. There's going to be some sweat. There's going to be some difficulties. But oh man, how awesome. Living your life for a real purpose, for real meaning, giving God the glory in that, honoring God, blessing the body of Christ, being salt and light and witness, the joy of being persecuted for the Lord. You're going to be persecuted no matter what you do in this world today. Have you noticed that? It is a world full of hate and haters. If I'm going to be hated, I won't be hated for Jesus. There's nothing better than being hated for than the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, both these houses look fine, but the trials, the storms revealed what they really were. Again, the world's going to face storms as well. They might not face storms of being persecuted for Christ, but they're under the sway of the wicked one. There's still a chastening that comes from rebellion. And when you start to complain or start to feel sorry for yourself in the storm, think of it like this. I'm on the rock of Christ. I'm building my house on the rock, and storms are coming. And Satan's saying, start whining, start complaining. You know what? Abort the situation. Get out. Go get to the sand where safety is. Know what? No, the Lord's with me. The world's going through the same trials, but they don't have the Lord. We have the Lord. The Lord's working these things for good. They have no depth. They have no foundation. They're built on the earth. There goes the tent in the whirlwind where we're just chilling in the pavilion. They should faint, and they often faint, but we should never faint. Luke 21:25, speaking of the end of the age, Jesus said there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress of nations and perplexity of the sea and waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. Very much a description of our world today. And the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they'll see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift your head because your redemption draws near. We rejoice in the storms. The world faints. And again, just as whoever's on the rock's going to stand, everyone on the sand will fall, as he says here. There's no special way for the elite. And there's also no loophole for the homeless. The prince and the pauper will fall unless they put faith in Jesus. And those with faith in Jesus, their house will stand only built on the rock. Speaking of the non-believer on the sand, Revelation 6:15, it says, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and the rocks of the mountain and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who's able to stand? And there's a lot of people running in the world building their house on the sand. They don't know Christ. They're not on the rock. They're building their house in the sand. And they think there's some loophole for them. Guys, there's no melanin clause. We got a world that's weaponizing melanin, the color of your skin. Pitting people against each other. And in that, people get self-righteous because I got a little more melanin in my skin than you. That's your pigmentation. If you're like, what watermelons, what are you talking about? And others, a little more lighter, so that makes it better. Have you noticed that? That's satanic. Bible says nothing about races. There's one race, the human race. But in this, again, false gospels come out of it. Pitting men against each other versus us recognizing we have an enemy called sin, Satan, death, and hell, and we all need Jesus. And there's no loophole based on your ethnicity, whether you're a Jew thinking you're saved as a Jew and you reject Christ, or whatever else is the platform you're standing on. There's many people in high places thinking that, again, they're going to overcome God. They're not going to. And there's others who look at those in poverty and think they're saved because of their poverty. They are not. We need to all come to Christ, because whoever responds to the Lord is saved, and who everyone who rejects them is lost. Amen. Proverbs 28:18, boy, it's a fall and a great fall. Whoever walks blamelessly will be saved, but he who is perverse in all his ways will suddenly fall. I think of I call him Barn Boy in Scripture. This is my name for him. In Luke 16, or Luke 12, you read about him. There's a guy that built barns, and he says, I built my barns. What do? I'm going to tear down those barns and build new barns. Thinking, I'm a builder. Dude just built it on the sand, though. Because as he went to bed that night, he had eaten and drinking, and he was merry. Look at him. I got a new project going. It says, God said to him full, that night your soul will be required of you. then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. The day's coming. Life is short here on earth. You get one life to live. Have you come to faith in Christ? If you haven't, today's the day of salvation. Quit putting Christ off. We're sinners. We only receive salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's dealt with the issue of your sin. And if you're a believer and you know you belong on the rock, but you're building your house on the sand, get off that stinking sand and get going with the Lord. Let's start doing things His way, stepping out in faith. He will be with you every step along the way, and then you will live a life of purpose for the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 10:23, to do evil is like sport for a fool, but the man of understanding has wisdom. The fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. For when the whirlwind passes by, the wicked will be no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. These are the words of God. Remember Jesus, whose name is the Word of God. This is biblical doctrine here. This is God's prophetic word confirmed. And so 28:29, it says, so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. There's a big difference between Jesus and these men who were religious. Jesus came from above. Jesus taught the word, and he taught in the power of the Holy Spirit, and they were astonished. These scribes, these men that set them up, set themselves up as religious experts that, again, had faith in their works and their efforts, they were from beneath. They taught the traditions of men, and they moved in their own pathetic strength. John 8:23, Jesus said, you are from beneath, I am from above. You're of this world, I'm not of this world. He taught the word, which is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And then he said of these scribes, in Mark 7:8, for laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the traditions of men. God's called us to stand in His authority, to move in His power. God grant His grace and mercy to do that. To do so again, we need to move according to the Word. God, fill me with Your Spirit. Let me stand in the Scripture. There's response, a reaction when you stand in the Word of God. Some people are going to respond well, and others, they might not like you. But better to have a response knowing they need to hear truth than being in a place of a powerless scribe that is just getting in the way of people coming to know the Lord. Let's stand up here, and we'll close in prayer and worship. Heavenly Father, we bless You this morning. We give You praise. We give You glory. We give You honor, God. We just thank You for Your person and who You are, Lord. We thank You, Jesus, that You are the rock. Let us now be a people building our house on the rock. And Lord, if there's been big projects going on the sand, Lord, I pray that we would forsake those today, doing things our own way. No, let's get on the rock and begin to walk in what God has for us. He'll meet you where you're at. If you don't know Him, again, the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord to be saved, you need to get saved today. It's simply the matter, a matter of humbling your heart, saying, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I believe You died for me. Come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. And if that's you, I encourage you, even right now, as we're in an attitude of prayer, ask Him to come into your life and to meet you where you are. He will. He loves you. He wants to put you on the rock. Any in that place, Lord, meet them where they are right now. And saints, if you know you've been just building on the sand when you belong on that rock, oh, Lord, grant us grace. Grant us grace, Lord, to be doers of the word. We thank You. We praise You, God. Lord, bless right now as we lift our voices to You. Let's worship the Lord.
Stone.
Let's not get a stampede going, but there's pancakes out there. So go be blessed and encourage someone this morning. God bless you.